सहनावतु
सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
So Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Page 50. Srila Prabhupada. During the Rasa dance, one form of Krishna was between every two gopis. But by the side of Srimati Radharani, there was one Krishna. Although this was the case, Srimati Radharani still manifested disagreement with Krishna. This verse is from the Ujjvala Nilamani, Sringara Beda Katana 102, written by Srila Rupa Goswami. So here, by pointing out between every two gopis, meaning that there was one Krishna for two girls. But with Radharani, there was just one Krishna. He looks familiar. Huh? Yeah, I think so. It was a long, long time ago. Yeah, no, it's a, what do you say, deja vu? Yeah. See that this is what talks about in the Bhagavatam about ecstasy and that because of that then all these other things and because so it all works out. You know how you say then you know the shaking of the limbs, you know, giving out so one goes falls to the floor, all these different things like that, you know. Removal of the mask, right? all different Yes, no, the.
This is
Sattvika Bhava. Yeah, and Vyavichari and all these things, yeah. Udriti, Sri Ramananda Sambad. Being afflicted by the arrow of Cupid, and unhappily regretting his mistreating Radharani. Right, so the point was before, he's between every two gopis, so, but with Radharani, he's alone. Does that make sense? So, the point is he is showing her special treatment, but not really enough. Right?
And everybody see that much? The gopis see that?
Not necessarily. It's just like, Krishna is sitting there and all the coward boys are all around him and each coward boy thinks that Krishna is looking at him. Like that. But as we saw before, it was that the mood was such that they were all more centered on themselves so you couldn't expand the rasa dance. So she was dissatisfied that Krishna would not be fully satisfied. So then she had a clever plan, so she left. By that, then Krishna would be completely, you know, things would be, so then he would also leave, and then being with her, it could be full. So now, from that separation, then these gopis will understand her position, because they understand she's the one who's worshipped the best. Then, they'll be able to come back together, and now he can dance with Radharani, you know, in that full mood, and they'll all have the proper supporting attitude. Udriti, Sri Ramananda Sambhava. Being afflicted by the arrow of Cupid and unhappily regretting his mistreating Radharani, Madhava, Sri Krishna, began to search for Srimati Radharani along the banks of the Jamuna River. When he failed to find her, he entered the bushes and began to lament. Right? I think this is before it was saying this is from the Govinda, Gita Govinda. Oh, this is Ujjwala Nilamani. Okay.
That was the previous.
All the above statements are of a very, very high standard of transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, and may appear to be like ordinary stories of a hero and heroine. Hero. I don't know, at least in American, you say hero, heroine. You don't say heroine. The whole activity may also appear like the lusty behavior of ordinary men and women. But this is the foolishness of the mundane conception. The complete picture is of transcendental loving service to the personality of Godhead by the pure senses. Completely free from mundane designations and cleansed of all mundane affairs. Only the highest devotee, who is absolutely purified by the regulator principles of devotional service, and who has attained the stage of realizing the degraded nature of mundane erotic activities, can relish these supramundane affairs, although they are described in language that is understandable to the general populace. Right? Because when you're dealing with Krishna's pastimes and all that, then the relationships on that are something that the jiva can relate to, but they'll relate on a mundane platform, right? When we get into technical talks about the nature of the jiva, the material world, and the Lord, some of those technical talks on tattva may get where the ordinary person won't understand them. But these talk, anything to do with the pastimes of the Lord and the relationships in that, people can understand. But they have to be careful they don't seem like mundane, you know, with a mundane conception. That's the point. So you see is that Srila Rupa Goswami and then here Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada, they're very careful in discussing these things. Because they're not cheap. That's the thing. It's something very, very important. It's very dear, so therefore you talk about it very carefully. Right? That's the whole thing. Is that, like, let's say if you know somebody and there are some very kind of there's some activities that are, you know, not standard public kind of activities, and that, then, you know, you'll be very careful about talking about those with anybody else. You know, certain, you know, like what their particular personal likes or opinions are, or you know, different uniquenesses of the person. You won't. But if it's somebody you don't know, then you can always talk about these kind of like cliches and all that very openly to anybody and make so many comments. Does that make sense? So that's why they're very careful with these things. They want to present them because, as Lord Chaitanya is pointing out, they're the highest position of happiness. But at the same time, you won't gain that highest position unless you understand their transcendental nature. So that means then one has to perform the sadhana very nicely, where one has come to the point where one is steady, where that faith is steady, and there's not an interest in the mundane. Does that make sense? So we'll see that within basically the latter stages of nishta, and then you're getting into ruchi, that's where it's kind of starting going to switch. Because at ruchi, then you have a taste for higher, then the other doesn't mean much. Right? Does that make sense? While at the beginning stages of nishta, you may be more focusing on avoiding, the material energy. Yes?
It seems that the way he's presented, it's almost cutting out.
Yes.
There's a certain language that even if you understand the word, you don't understand the meaning.
Yes.
Until you're qualified to understand.
Yes, that will also be there, because they're always going to say something very pleasantly. Like we can see, you see a lot in Nectar Devotion, that you could say like a direct, I don't know if you say direct translation. I'm not sure what would be the term for it. It's a translation in which it's grammatically correct. It's not misrepresenting the points, but it's not necessarily catching the subtleties. So it's just what the words are there, that's what's caught. You know, it's just like, huh? Yeah, you could probably say literal would be good, because we don't want to say direct, because then the subtle can also be direct. Literal would be there. And so you see that we have the literal translation, and then we see, you know, Jiva Goswami giving some grammatical explanation of it, or bringing out some other aspect of it. And then with Prabhupada, you see the same thing is said in a much more poetic form. And sometimes certain things that are, the literalness brings out very strongly, he'll push it to the back and bring something else out as the strong point. You know, so the literal will tend to bring out the setting of the scene or the activities of the scene to the front. When Prabhupada will do it, it will bring out more the mood that's being exchanged and experienced. That will come to the front. The other one will recede to the back. So you don't necessarily even have to bring out all the details if they're going to be a bit too, let's say, obvious. You know, if they make it more subtle. You notice that? So that's what, one of the things there is that one's not careful, you don't catch what actually the mood is. Because you can use certain words, and yes, in the dictionary they mean this. But how people use them, that's a whole nother. Can you imagine the conversation that goes on now, and that's translated, you know, hundreds of years from now, you know, by people who don't know how people speak now. They'll always be wondering, why is it they'll be, one of the things that will come to mind is, why is it that everything that happens that's a little bit out of the ordinary, everyone always refers to the cold weather? You know, that'll be, you know, and that'll be mentioned in the notes, and, you know, the scholars will be saying, you know, it seems inconsistent, you know, there must be an interpolation or some miss, you know, something that's, it wasn't, yes.
They already did some memes, you know, kind of what we say now, if people from the past would hear that, for example, I'm going to the forest, I'll take the phone with me, you know, so the phone, you take it to the forest, and I will put it on your wall, all that stuff, you know, when we say now, and it means a lot to us.
Right.
Then people would take it to insane asylum if we say like that.
Yeah.
Previously.
Yeah, yeah.
The same stuff.
Yeah. So that's the difficulty, is that it has to be, yes. So in other words, that's why we always prefer anything that the acharyas will give us. And then taking that flavor, then that will be the mood in which we'll deal. So if there's something special to be brought out there or to emphasize, then another acharya will make a comment. You know, or let's say there's two or three different things you can bring out. So the main one's been brought out, but to just round it out more, to bring out more of a appreciation, they may mention these other aspects. You know, like you see Sanatana Goswami many times says, it means this, or it could mean like this, or it could mean, and he'll just sometimes go for many times. Like that. You know, it's always, that's why it's always important to follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. That's one of the main points of sadhana bhakti. After you've surrendered, accepted the spiritual master, taken initiation, following the instructions, then one has to be able to follow the previous acharyas by the instructions of the present acharya. Then you'll actually catch, because it's the mood that matters. Because our tendency is we always look at the situation and the activities and particularly results, and we take it that that's the all in all. When in actuality, it's the experience that's gained from it. Right? Does that make sense? You know, just like with the psychological aspect, that we take it that what you see with the senses, then that in the modern academy is called concrete. And then how you think of it yourself, they'll say that's abstract. They'll say, well, you see what's there, and then how you think of it, that becomes abstract, because everybody can see it in a different way. But they're not catching is the 10 people that see that same thing are seeing 10 different things. You know, because they go by what their experience is and that. And then from that, how does that relate to them? And they'll see it in that way. So in the Vedic, how you perceive it for yourself according to your values, that's called the concrete. And just the world around you, that's called abstract, because that could get any... It means you can see it one way, someone else can see it another. So it's exactly reversed. You know? So the world's abstract. And how you think, that's the concrete. Concrete means how you act. It doesn't mean it's the facts. It just means that that's how you're going to see it, and that's how you're going to act. And if anybody wants to deal with you, they have to deal with your concrete. You know, so if it's incorrect, you have to find a way to bring that person's concrete to actual, what's a recommended concrete.
But when you hear the same custom from different acharyas from different angles, what should be the priority to try to work out what the custom is about or the siddhanta?
Well, as we went from the, for us, I mean, it's for us as sadhakas, then being situated, you know, as a platform on the Vijnanamaya platform, because the basis of that is Brahman. So then that platform, then you're going to have that, you're going to see things according to Shastra, understand it according to that. Then you're going to have to, you try to, you know, then you see, have the faith in the scriptures. Then you're going to use the intelligence to try to understand that, and then you're going to try to apply that in your life. And that will then bring you to a conclusion or a siddhanta. So that's the core of it, finding that siddhanta. Because the point is if you're getting different views from the different acharyas, there's only one siddhanta. So that's the thing, there's only one siddhanta. Because for them, when they're bringing out these different aspects, you know, especially in this kind of presentation or this topic, it's going to be different aspects of taste. But if we're not on the flat platform of taste, where it means something to us in the way of taste, then it's going to be, we're just going to try to see the technical. You know, it's just like, ninth grade or something like that. Then there was a class in music, and I can't remember what it was, but there was this element where the improvisational wasn't a topic that couldn't be brought up. Earlier classes, you just don't get into that. And I remember that there were at least two kids that they would just, something would come up, and they would just start off on, well, that, you know, if that was done in 9/7, then this and that, and they'd start going on off all these technical things. But for them, they were getting a taste from that, because it wasn't about the technicalness. It was about, yeah, if you put it in that, that would give this flavor, so that would give this taste, because they were talking jazz. Right? And so, it's for them, it's a taste, but for me, it's just technical, what, nine what's? You know, like that. You know. So then you have to understand, you know, go back, well, what are they talking about? Where's it? And so the point is that these are just different ways you can present the music that you'll get a different flavor. So how the teacher played it would give one flavor. And their point is if you adjusted it, it would give this other flavor. You know? Or they're talking about different angles. Does that make sense? You know, so it's like here. In this case, Srimati Radharani still manifested disagreement, even though she was favored. Right? But the point is the main point, the Siddhanta, is that Krishna wasn't getting the highest happiness. Because he, being who he is, he's made the statement, as you surrender, he reciprocates. So, Radharani's mood is 100%. And so when he's with her, then his mood can be at 100%. But these other gopis, it'll be a very small percentage. At its maximum. That's all it can be. So Radharani's point, because they were trying to, you know, make it circle around that, you know, let's just be, how you say? You know, just as a general thing, 1%. You know, we're being, because Radharani makes it Mount Meru and a mustard seed. You know, so you'd have to say, you know, 1 to the minus, you know, 100th or something, you know, like that. So just say 1%. So the gopi is making it about that 1% and that interaction, which compared to the material world or to Brahman or to Vaikuntha or even Dwarka, is, you know, light years beyond. But to what it can be, as he is the unlimited supreme person, it wasn't that much. So Radharani is upset that Krishna can't be fully satisfied. You know, in a situation like this. It's not that she's complaining when he's with Mother Yashoda. These are different flavors that all give the background. But this is a rasa dance. Right? So therefore, she's leaving. That's the actual main point that's being brought out. Right? But so therefore that he is favoring her, but it still is not enough in that he won't be fully fit. That, you know, isn't what comes up to us. So then we have to discuss about, you know, if we're talking about the Beach Boys, you know, two girls for each boy, kind of, you know, that kind of song or something, you know. You know. So it's you know, and they're in ecstasy, right? You know, so like that. And so then so, you know, or she became angry, and oh, it's about the anger, and it's about this and that, or it's about, no, it's about Krishna's not fully satisfied. So reason she is the topmost, because she only looks at what will be the most satisfying to Krishna. So Radharani is trying to arrange it so all these other girls will see it in that same light. And if they see it in the same light, then they'll be able to be the mustard seeds around Meru. Does that make sense? So being with her alone is like Mount Meru. Then you add the other gopis, it just adds more flavor. Then it becomes worthwhile. That's why he can be dancing on the Maharas with millions of gopis. You know, it's just adding that much more. But still, if Radharani's not there, all those millions of gopis, he leaves. And he can't find Radharani, so when he can't find Radharani, he doesn't go, well, why am I doing this for? You know, hey, there's a million girls over there. You know, no. He sits down in the bush and laments. So these different flavors are being brought out, and in this there's so many nuances and that. Remember, then this same point was being given in Nectar of Devotion to show a kind of anger, you know, like that, and the flavors of that. And so many angles you can bring out. You know, it's like here, okay, this is in the secondary bhava of this, and within that there's the subcategory of that, you know. Or it could bring out, you know, what other things are there, Krishna's lamentation or the separation. But the point is it's this exchange of bringing Krishna's pleasure to the highest position. And that's being orchestrated by Srimati Radharani. And so Krishna is trying to be with her. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that we'll tend to look at this, the secondary aspects. You know, it's the form through which it's manifest, and so of course it's important, but it's not as important as the reason that it's there. So the different acharyas may bring out different aspects or flavors. So within our own acharyas, then it's going to be within the same circle. other acharyas and other lines in the same kind of thing may bring out different aspects. But at the same time, it's not contradictory because it all goes back to Krishna's pleasure. So it's all about, you know, in this case, the Icha and all that. And so then they understand the Ladini, his pleasure, and these aspects. They may not appreciate or understand the topmost position of Radharani. What they do know is that it'll be a form that in their mind of Lakshmi. You know? And so they don't understand she's the original Lakshmi, but some form. And so it'll be through that. So then they'll be talking about how, you know, Narayan's with Lakshmi and these kind of things like that. And he's always with her and, you know, that kind of thing. So it may bring in a Vaikuntha mood or some other mood. But the point is it's not contradictory to the principle of Krishna being the center of attention. Right? Because that's the natural position. But you see, he makes the devotee the center of attention. That's why with each person, he's interacting with them as they deal with him. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the expertise, is that they deal in such a way to bring out all this interaction. Does that make sense?
When you said that the first the first thing is to develop appreciation.
Yes.
Without I can say without too much comment.
Yes, because we have no possession. And so therefore we won't act in the proper way. See, it's just like, let's say, does a mother have to look at a manual to take care of the child? Because of the natural affection, she'll move on the path of that affection. So the child's crying. So then, as far as she can see, whatever's obvious, she'll try to deal with that. And if it's that, then it's done. If it's not, she'll keep going till she finds it. But she knows what to go through. Right? We don't know that, because without that rati, without that affection, we won't, or at least that attraction, we won't have that natural spontaneity to go through whatever it is till you get it exactly right. That's why we need the rules and regulations. You know, so it's what to do, what not to do. You know? So like what you're mentioning here, don't get too worried about it. That's one of the things to, you know, you don't get, you know, how you say, yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So the point is that they are dealing with this very delicately because it's very dear. So it's not just something that, you know, it can be very interesting, because it says here it's understandable to general populace, so you can always tell these pastime stories and it'll always be a hit. But the point is that unless you appreciate what you're dealing with, you might not deal with it in the delicateness that it requires. Does that make sense? Yeah. The cheerfulness of Lord Chaitanya in relishing the above statements by Ramananda Rai is the proof that they are the highest standard of transcendental expression. Therefore, readers should be careful not to bring these topics down to a level of mundane affairs. So just because he's so happy, you know that it must be at such an elevated level. Because where he started off from, you know, like performing your varnashram duties for the pleasure of the Lord, we're having a problem with that. You know, or giving the results to the Lord, you know, of that work, right? One is you're doing your work, that I'm doing the work. I'm doing my work in accordance with Krishna's laws, because they're Krishna's laws and I want to make Krishna happy. So I'm following his laws to please him, right? I want to please him. So he's given the laws of how material energy works and how everything works, our relationship. So I'm following that to please him. That's the beginning stage that he starts from, right? But it's external, because you're functioning in your environment and that. You're including Krishna, but it hasn't brought about the point of that relationship with Krishna, other than, you know, that you know, we're the soul and he's God and these aspects. So it's glorious, but at the same time, it's not to the point of taste that Lord Chaitanya wants to discuss. Then you bring up giving the results of that. So you see that whatever I'm doing is for Krishna. Right? So it's not that I'm doing the activity connected to Krishna, but it's actually the results of the Krishna. Right? Right? And then what was the next one? Is that then you... Yes, so you renounce. You give up the activities that give results and only be engaged in things that are connected with Krishna. Right? And so then that's higher than that. But then I think it's that the next is then, sorry?
Gyanamisha,
where then you're seeing on the platform of the soul, and you're actually able to function on that and at that kind of like liberated kind of view. Right? But then it's the next one is then, pure devotional service without any karma and jnana. Because before that, you know, the first two are karma. The next one is kind of like karma and with the jnana aspect of it. You know, they may be sannyas, but they may be like that. They're smartas of that. Then the next one is their jnani, so they're working for that, understanding Brahman and things like that. But then the next, pure devotional, so without karma jnana. So then Lord Chaitanya accepts, okay, this is the beginning. You know, so we see his Prabhupada introduced from there. And then slowly tried to introduce them the lower levels as devotees required it. And, you know, and it's discussions are still going on today if those actually matter. But it's not like the actual point where we started from is being pushed. You know what I'm saying? So that's the... So we have to be here is that if Lord Chaitanya is appreciating this and he's so cheerful, that means that he started there and then you went up and then you talked about the Shanta Ras, and then he got into the other Rasas and got up until he got to the conjugal. So each one went higher. Then the conjugal, then he kept going higher till he brought in Radharani. You know? So now it's just the point is, if you know more, please say. You know, up to this point, it was, you know, there's more. But once he's got to that point, now it's a matter of, if you know, please say. And Ramananda Rai says, I've never had anybody ask me beyond this point. You know, no one, except for Lord Chaitanya, who's qualified to discuss beyond that point. So that's the we have to understand is that therefore it's very, very, so many levels up from the mundane. Ramananda Rai continued to explain that by a critical study of the above two shlokas, Gita Govinda 3:1-2 shlokas, okay. Gita Govinda 1 and 2. Oh, okay. Oh, that's an introduction. Okay, so this must be the... Oh, no, 3, 1, and 2. Okay, so that means that... Okay, it's farther on. We can know that the Rasa Leela is performed in the company of innumerable cowherd girls. Right, so when we say 16,108, that's just so that we can kind of bend our head around it. But in some places it says millions. But 16,108 is how many we can kind of basically relate to. But in spite of this, the personality of Godhead prefers to remain specifically with Srimati Radharani. Knowing this, a devotee's heart becomes swollen with transcendental joy, which may be compared to a mine of nectar. You know, because a mine, you can just go in there and pull so much out. You know, it's. Hearing about all these transcendental love affairs, the hearts of experienced devotees are filled with an inexplicable, supramundane joy. They feel that Sri Krishna is equally fond of all the gopis, but he is specifically attracted by the clever and often contradictory dealings of Srimati Radharani. Thus, she contributes the most to the rasa dance, right? Okay, she's equally fond of all the gopis. He's equal to all devotees. You know, so, you know, to each devotee, as they are surrendered to Krishna, that particular mood they have, Krishna reciprocates. And so he does that with everybody. But you'll see, is this, despite this, there's still something extra for Srimati Radharani. So it makes sense, yeah. The curved ways of progressive love affairs appear like the movement of a snake. That's been mentioned before. Because it's not straight. You're going to a particular point, but you go this way, then you go that way, then you go there. So it's going towards the point, but it's never going straight. Other ones, you see, it's straight. That's the uniqueness of all the other rasas. Right? Shanta, it doesn't go towards something because it's already existing always on that platform of just its perfection. So there's no movement. But we see with the Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsalya, there's always movement, but it's straight. Right? So that's straight. The other one, there's no movement. Then the last would be, is movement, but it's not straight. Right? Sorry, sense. Yeah. Further, two different kinds of anger. Anger with a cause and anger without a cause arise within the dealings of a young man and a young woman. In pursuance of the above principles, that was Nectar Devotion was talking about that, right? Yeah. In pursuance of the above principles, Srimati Radharani, in a mood of erotic anger, left the arena of the Rasa Dance with a feeling of devout attachment. So that's the thing, it's contradictory. Like that. He is specifically attracted by the clever and often contradictory dealings of Srimati Radharani. Thus, Sri Hari also became mad after her and perturbed his mind out of anger without cause. Right, so then Krishna is tasting that rasa without, there's no cause, right? Sri Krishna's desire was to enjoy the transcendental pastime of the rasa lila in its fullness. And the cornerstone of its whole construction was Srimati Radharani. Because right? Without the cornerstone, everything falls apart. Right? Without her presence, the Rasa Leela is upset. Therefore, the absence of Srimati Radharani caused Sri Krishna to leave the arena and go in search of her. When Sri Krishna was unable to find Srimati Radharani after searching here and there, he became overwhelmingly afflicted by Cupid's arrow and began to deeply lament on account of her absence, right? So he's tasting the aspect of the anger, but now he's also being overwhelmed. You know, there's those ones of, This fact proves that the transcendental heart of Sri Krishna is not satiated even by his enjoyments in the midst of so many millions of other cowherd girls, right? So here now he mentions that, right? As such, the intensity of his love for Srimati Radharani is impossible to describe. Just like he's impossible to describe, she's impossible to describe. Right? Krishna revealed that certain things you can say, but that completeness of it, that the depth of it and all that, you can't. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. All the above statements regarding the transcendental leela of Sri Sri Radha Krishna profusely delighted Lord Chaitanya, and he became completely satisfied by his meeting with Ramananda Rai. Okay, so now, yes. That I'm not sure, but the point is
within him.
But because some of these things aren't really important, like where did Jayadev Goswami come from? Where did that come from, or Sridhar Swami, or so there's just personalities who come just to set the scene. Because how do you have this discussion if Gita Govinda hasn't been written? Because otherwise what they would refer to, because the Lord does things according to Shastra. Right? You know, especially he's coming, you know, as a devotee, as a Brahmin. So everything has to be according to Shastra. And so, if these things aren't there, then how do you relate? So therefore, Vidyapati and Chandidas, you know, it's just out of nowhere they just come up, and then they, you know, Sridharaswamy, his commentary is the commentary. Everybody else is commenting on that. It's just important they come along. They're like that. You know, Narad Muni, you know, it's just, there's this. So these are eternal principles that are there. So that it's there means, it means every time the pastime is there, these things are there. These backgrounds are there. You know, Bhagavatam's been spoken, so then, so, Goswamis, yes, but then they'll be acharyas, so they'll show a process. They heard from Lord Chaitanya. You know, they were performing their regular activities, then they came in contact with Lord Chaitanya, you know, either directly or through somebody else or something like that. Then hearing from him, so they're instructed there. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati. You know, then they're all instructed, and then from there, then it goes on. Now, that you catch it like that, then that's something there. But basically, you can see for most things, then there's a background given, a history. But for some things, it's not important. You're like, Krishna always has his conch shell. But then there's a pastime of how he gets it from Varuna. You know? Or he gets a Sudarshan Chakra. From, like this. It's just, there's just these kind of things that explain how he appeared, how he disappeared, all these things. But in actuality, it's always there. But it just makes it so that we appreciate it. So much is there in the Shastra about that. But there may be things that it's not so important. Because it won't matter to us. You know, we can't take advantage of it. So those things that's there, even though they may do it in a much quicker way, but the point is they go through the process. Like Krishna and Balaram, they went to Gurukul. But we basically see in 2 months they learned everything that there is to know in Gurukul. You know, like that. So all the subjects that everybody else might specialize in, this area or that or so many different things, and only learn that much, they learn everything. You know, so we don't hear about Krishna going to the Gurukul for 12 years. You know, so he goes until he finishes his studies. Because you can either go for a certain amount of time. Even if you finish your study, you stay for that time because there's always the benefit of the ashram. Or some, as the vow is that I'm going to study a certain amount. When I finish that, then I'll leave. So if it's after a few years or many years, you know. Or some, it's both. You know, he stayed his 12 years and he finished his studies. But like that, so. So it won't be, otherwise it would be something that would be brought up. It would be something for us to learn from. But to see Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he knows so much. So all the verses that Lord Chaitanya talks about and quotes, he knows those verses. Even the verses that Gopinathacharya quotes, he knows the verses. He just doesn't understand what they mean. But after meeting Lord Chaitanya, now he understands what they mean. So it's also, you have that point of the Lord revealing. I think there's a verse, I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about it, where the Lord's telling Maya Devi that you now remove the covering on these particular verses so that people actually understand what's going on. Otherwise, she just keeps a covering on them because they're not qualified, so they wouldn't understand them anyway. But when you uncover, then by very small touch with the devotees and all that, now it will be appreciated. You know, so you can see the modes of nature are there. Something that somebody would consider bad, now they consider good. Like if you go back some months, basically your standard, you know, educated liberal person, we don't mean, you know, far left or anything, would never agree to going out and rioting. They would say it's bad. You know, it's fanatic, it's something's wrong, it's you know, like this, especially, you know, breaking shops, stealing, all this kind of stuff. But right now the modes are such that that's there, and if you don't support it, then you support bad behavior. Even though, you know, like that. So that's how the modes work. They just cover something and uncover something else. It's like the sun, it moves. And the sun comes, you know, it gets bright one place, and another place goes into darkness. It's just how it works. And people think that they're so independent and free thinking and all that. So, like, if you say it's no, you're being logical, then they'll say you're being dogmatic. You're not thinking. You're just talking. Supporting authority or like that. You're not a free thinking individual when they're the ones that are controlled by the modes and aren't thinking freely. So just at some point, Krishna removes that, so that now people seeing that can appreciate it. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. According to some astrologers, today is the day when the, you know, the stars, they're going to shift and then that appears in 29th of September.
Okay, yeah. So is it going to be the age of Aquarius is coming?
Or? Coming back.
Oh.
For 2 months.
For 2 months, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have
the
eclipse. Yeah, because the main planets that were, they've all gone out of those positions. But then now something else. That's the material world. You get rid of one problem, then another one comes up, you know. It was so cold, and now it's finally warmed up, and now because it's warmed up, now the mosquitoes come out. You got rid of the mosquitoes, but now it's too cold. You know, so it's always something. But yes, it's just exactly like that. They change, and you see the mood changes, and somehow or another, how people see things change, and suddenly in the news, something else becomes prominent, and then everybody goes that way. Do you have the saying, jumping on the bandwagon? No? No. It's an American thing. Okay. Okay. Maybe, okay. We'll get into it. Won't bother. You got the idea. Okay. 2:8, 1:12 to 1:27. Good? Yeah. Ramananda Rai continued, when Radharani left the Rasa dance out of anger and resentment, Lord Sri Krishna became very anxious because he could not see her. Right? Because he mentioned it. What was it? Srimati Radharani, in pursuance of the above principles, Srimati Radharani, in a mood of erotic anger, left the arena of Rasa dance with a feeling of devout attachment. So it's all about Krishna, like that. So, when she, out of anger and resentment, but it was out of that supreme attachment to Krishna. So that's why it said clever and contradictory. So it's contradictory because the mood seems contradictory, and it's clever because she left, and then Krishna would also then come looking for her. Lord Krishna's desire in the Rasa Lila circle is perfectly complete. But Srimati Radharani is the binding link in that desire. Right? She holds the whole thing together. The Rasa dance does not shine in the heart of Krishna without Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he also gave up the circle of the Rasa dance and went out to search for her. When Krishna went out to search for Srimati Radharani, he wandered here and there. Not finding her, he became afflicted by the arrow of Cupid and began to lament. Since Krishna's lusty desires were not satisfied even in the midst of hundreds of thousands of gopis, and he was thus searching after Srimati Radharani, we can easily imagine how transcendentally qualified she is. After hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Ramananda Rai, "That for which I have come to your residence has now become an object of truth in my knowledge. Right? So here is that object of truth, remember saying before, is that it's something that you're hearing things, but then it's something that is being appreciated, it's being cultivated. Right? So in this case, it's taste. For us, it'll be more of an understanding, or like this. Now I have come to understand the sublime goal of life and the process of achieving it. Nevertheless, I think that there is something more ahead, and my mind is desiring to have it. Kindly explain the transcendental features of Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Right, so now we've heard about the Madhurya Rasa in general, then about the gopis themselves, then about the gopis with Srimati Radharani comparison. Now he's asking about Radha and Krishna themselves. Also explain the truth of transcendental mellows and the transcendental form of love of Godhead. Kindly explain all these truths to me, but for yourself, no one can ascertain them. Because in here is that, remember, is that the Ananda Maya Purush, then the body is Ananda. And so that their pleasure
delight and ecstasy,
these were all different limbs of Ananda. So the central feature is the Ananda. Okay. Kindly explain the transcendental features of Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Also explain the truth of transcendental mellows and the transcendental form of love of Godhead. Kindly explain all these truths to me, but for yourself, no one can ascertain them. Sri Ramananda Rai replied, I do not know anything about this. I simply vibrate the sound you make me speak. Right? So we see the same thing with Haridas Thakur, and it's discussed with Haridas Thakur, that all the truths of the holy name were discussed. Right? And so he's just saying, I just speak what you make me speak. You know? And we also see is that in that prayer by Srila Prabhupada, he says, make me dance how you like. So it's the same principle, is that you're willing to perform your service. That's why he says there's no plan. He doesn't say, okay, let me go back, I have a few books, I'll study them, and you know, and tomorrow then I'll come back, I'll have some more for you. Like that. So it's a matter of what Krishna reveals to you at the time. Yeah, Chaitanya Charitamrita would have gone a little bit differently if that had done that. So they don't have a plan as such. If there's something indicated, then they make a plan. But otherwise, they just try to do something for Krishna. Like Sri Prabhupada, he's trying to do something for his spiritual master. So he wants to get literature. He makes the Back to Godhead. He starts writing. He's trying to get... Because if he's going to do something in America, the idea is you go over there with people. And you start something. So he tries to start something here. Nothing's happening. But he has to go to America. So then he just gets... He doesn't know. Finally, he gets a ride on a cargo ship. Right? You know, and then he gets there. He has, you know, what's going to happen? Old man, 40 rupees, Boston Harbor. You know? Like that. And so, he just takes it from there. And each time, then he's doing something. He says, okay, there's an opportunity for, you know, uptown preaching. You know, because that's the rich here, aristocratic, all that. That's where it is, right? That's where the money is. Why? That's where the yogis are going to go, right? You know, then that doesn't. Something happens, and he ends up going. You know, he loses everything, and so some hippie guy who's there. You know, probably from uptown, but now he lives. You know, at the other end of the island. You know, he says, "Oh, I have some. You know, from a friend there or something. There's a loft there. You know, so now he's down with the hippies, and so then it starts." It's not that Prabhupada had, you know, he's sitting in Vrindavan, you know, okay, I'm going to go do this, get on the boat, I'm going to get there, I'm going to get like this, I'm going to move down to New York, I'm going to get down there with the hippies, and then they're going to make it all happen. So that's the whole thing, is that within the context of what you see, then you're working on it. And that's why you don't make a plan means you use your intelligence to apply the situation that Krishna's giving and the indications. But as the plan, as your application unfolds, if it starts changing, you adjust with it. You don't be attached to your plan.
I was reading some early letters of Prabhupada, 67, and one letter changes plans.
Yes, so they're using the intelligence, but the point is it's Krishna's plan. It's his will, what pleases him. So how it unfolds, that's going to be there. So in the situation, you do your best. And then if something else comes up, you go with that. So it's a very unique position that you're functioning in the present. You know, but as it says, you know, a little bit in the past, a little bit in the future, that's all connected. So you're making some ideas. You know, it's just like you're down there in the loft and you think, okay, then this many days a week we can have. So, and if it works, then it works. Right? But you see, eventually then more was going on. Like that. Is that good? Yeah, I do not know anything about this. I simply vibrate the sound you make me speak. I simply repeat like a parrot whatever instructions you have given me. You are, because he says, you please speak about Radha and Krishna. So that's the next direction, because he says something, and then Lord Chaitanya, by what he says, he just, then, okay, then this verse, and then this verse, and like that. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Who can understand your dramatic performances? You inspire me within the heart and make me speak with the tongue. I do not know whether I am speaking well or badly. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am a Mayavadi in the renounced order of life, and I do not even know what transcendental loving service to the Lord is. I simply float in the ocean of Mayavad philosophy. Due to the association of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, my mind became enlightened. Therefore, I asked him about the truths of transcendental loving service to Krishna. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told me, quote, I do not actually know about the topics of Lord Krishna. They are all known only to Ramananda Roy, but he is not present here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, after hearing about your glories, I have come to your place, but you are offering me words of praise out of respect for a sannyasi, one in the renounced order of life. Srila Prabhupada. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that a mundane person, being enriched by mundane opulences, must always know that the transcendental opulences of the advanced devotees are far more important than the materialistic opulences of a person like himself. A materialistic person with material opulences should not be very proud or puffed up before a transcendental devotee. One approaches a transcendental devotee on the strength of one's material heritage, opulence, education, and beauty, and does not offer respect to the advanced devotee of the Lord. The Vaishnav devotee may offer formal respects to such a materially puffed up person, but he may not deliver transcendental knowledge to him. Indeed, the devotee sees him as a non-Brahman or Shudra. Right? Because a Brahman means one who knows Brahman. Right? So you can see the consciousness. They may be in a Brahman body or situation or doing the Brahminical work. But because if it's not interested in Krishna or not interested in his transcendental subject matters, they're not actually on the platform of realization of Brahman. Right? So they won't be situated in the Vijnanamaya Purusha. Right? They'll be situated something lower. Right? Such a puffed up person cannot understand the science of Krishna. A proud person is deceived in transcendental life, and despite having attained a human form, will again glide into hellish conditions by his personal example. Oh, excuse me. I was going to say, how does he take his own example to glide into hell? Like that. Maybe that's just meant by going to hell in a bucket and you're enjoying the ride, so you're going along, you know, okay. Okay. Despite having attained a human form, will again glide into hellish life. By his personal example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains how one should be submissive and humble before a Vaishnava. even though one may be situated on a high platform, right? Because so he's a sannyasi and all that. And so then, but he should, you have to deal properly. So when it comes to the Vaishnav aspect, then it doesn't matter the position, right? Such is the teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Acharya of the world, the supreme spiritual master and teacher. So that's just how it works. So one has to do. So within the common things, yes, then you have the social functions and all that. But at the same time, you have the transcendental, so that's respected. It means Lord Chaitanya is bringing that out because that's the essence of the Veda. It's found in the Veda. You see it, but people generally don't catch it because you see all the stories, nobody catches it. But there's that one story with Gotama's son went to the Gurukul, and after he graduated, then he came out, and then he was, you know, going around and he's begging and things like that. And he came across the king, and, you know, because he was Brahmi's Gotama's son and that, and he had just graduated, and he thought, oh, so I can, so many nice things I can, you know, learn from him. So he started asking about transcendental subject matter. Gotama's son didn't know anything about this because he was very, very, very proud of his position. You know, his birth, his knowledge, his everything like this. And so he was unqualified to know that, so his teacher never taught him. And so he'd ask particular questions, and in his mind, these aren't real questions. These are Russian questions. You know? So it's an eternal principle, right? So then he went back to his house, and then his father asked him, so how did it go today? And he told him it was terrible, and what happened? Well, I went to the king, and he was disrespectful and everything. You know, it's like there's that kind of cliche is that you talk too big of words, you're being disrespectful to the other person. You know, so like that. So then and his father said, why, what kind of question, what was he asking? You know, he just says, yeah, you know, he's supposed to be a king, he's supposed to be trained, but he's asking all these things that have nothing to do with Shastra, nothing to do with anything. And he was surprised because he knew the king, this was Janaka Raja. And so then he said, what questions? And he answered a question, you know, because those guys with that kind of brain, they remember everything. They're Shruti guys, you know. So he asked the questions. He could understand from that. He was asking refined questions on an advanced level. And so that level that he was asking questions at was more than what Gotama knew. And the other Brahmins around, and they all got up and went to the king. And ask him, you please, you know, instruct us in this science. Because he was a devotee. Because Janaka Raj, he's one of the 12 Mahajans. Well, they're just great Brahmins in the universe. You know? So they won't know what he knows. And so then they went to him. But then that principle is he knows more on the transcendental platform. They as high-grade Brahmins, then they are you know, and they're the ones that move throughout the universe, these kind of guys. Well, Janaka just stays in his kingdom. He doesn't move around the universe. But then they go to him and ask him to be their guru. You know, instruct them. But he says, I can't because I'm a Kshatriya in that. But he says, you can be my guest and, you can come, we'll sit, you know, in the court and whatever questions you want to ask, you ask. I'll explain to the best I know. So they were just guests in which they just had nice conversations. So this way they learned everything that they wanted, but it wasn't a formal, he's the guru, their disciple. So that's the whole thing, is it has these dual things going on. Is that you may be in your position and according to the social function, you are respected accordingly. But it doesn't mean that you don't respect somebody more who's more advanced, even though he's in a junior position. You know, it's just like, yeah, okay. Does that make sense? Yeah. Good. Udriti, Sri Ramananda Samvada. The method of approach and the manner of humility exhibited by Lord Chaitanya to Ramananda is the ideal for approaching a bona fide tattvadarshi, or a master of transcendental knowledge. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4:34, right? So that's just how it works, you know. So yes, you have the social etiquette, but then you also have the transcendental etiquette. So you know, if we're not careful, we tend to one does all. You know, if I have a material position, that means then I also have the position on the spiritual. Or if I have the spiritual, that means I also have on the. But no, it's each one is maintained, and each one respects the other for the position. So in this case, Ramananda Rai is respecting Lord Chaitanya, you know, in his position as the sannyasi and everything like that, but as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Chaitanya is the sannyasi, he's respecting Ramananda Rai as the, you know, one who knows this feature of devotional service. So that's the point, is that there are positions of respect, and even if you have, you know, one or many, you still respect the other people for the ones they have. You know? Like that. Like you have money, they have money. You have more money, you still respect them for having money. Not that you have more money, so now you're the most respectful and that's it. You know, but someone else with more knowledge or someone else with more influence. You know, there's that funny guy sitting over in the corner of the room that, you know, he doesn't, you know, talk much on that, but he has the most influence. He has connections, he talks to them privately, and that he gets things done. You respect him for that. But he respects you because, in this case, you have the most money of anybody in the room. You know? So, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, it's both. We have a tendency that if one is there, it cancels all others. So, yeah. Udriti. Yes.
Why is that in Padita forming now? Because of the modes?
I would say the modes are there, but just lack of training. So we don't have a respectful attitude because the modern culture, one of its main features, is always breaking down anything that's authority, anything that's tradition. Right? It means you look at it. The modern academy, even though it's all about, you know, that the professors and that, they are the authorities. But the point is he's the authority, he's presenting a particular doctrine. If you can find a fault in that doctrine, he's not the authority anymore. Now you become the authority. You know, so they're always trying to break down. So they're breaking down each other's ones, they're breaking down whatever's going in society. You know, the intellectuals are always talking, breaking down this and that, you know, and it's in the news. If some big academic makes a comment about some big political leader or someone else like this, you know, some religious thing, that they go and interview him because, you know, there's just a mood of lack of respect of authority. And so anything that'll break it down, you know, one does that. You know, it's like, yeah, all the devotees are equal, but now you see is they're trying to make it just factually just flat equal. Then you won't have any culture. How will that work? Everybody can't be equal. We've never seen it work like that. Maybe, just perhaps maybe, the Essenes had a little bit of that going on, but who knows anything about it? Where are they? You know, there's... Who are they? Oh, you don't know who the Essenes are?
Maybe
they don't know. Essenes?
Essenes?
Yeah. Maybe I didn't say it right because of the American accent.
Essenes is the father of Jesus.
Yeah. It's a particular group of people where it was just about spiritual subject matter. They were all kind of like, everybody's equal. They didn't have, they just kind of worked together. It was all like a bunch of sadhus.
Just has a different name.
Yeah.
In our language.
Yeah, and I heard, you know, you hear about that, and you hear about that there was a tribe, I think in Brazil maybe, or somewhere there, where there was no leader. Just everybody sat down and discussed everything, and when it was all worked out, then they did stuff. Very peaceful. Very well, everything went really well in that tribe. Very small, but you never hear about it. You know, more than just what I've just said now. You know.
They ate those who disagreed.
Sorry?
They ate those who disagreed or something?
That I'm not sure. That would definitely be a good impetus to cooperate, you know. So then, that way, then the main principle was everybody would agree, but they didn't. They were open to people could disagree. So therefore, if you had everybody's agreeing but 10 people aren't agreeing, then you keep working at it and discussing it till you get it down to one person not agreeing. He's dinner. 10's too many. There'll be a wastage, you know. So.
That's why they were so small.
Yeah, and why they. But point is that any time they talk equal, there's always a leader. I mean, it's Russia, everybody's equal, and then you have the Kremlin, you know, or in China, everybody's equal, and then you have Mao, you know, like that. So it's always going to be like that. Or, you know, all animals are equal, but then some are more equal than others, right? You know, they live in the barn. This group lives in the house, right? So that's the point. It's unnatural because nothing's equal. Everything's unique. So say it's equal means there's no individuality, no uniqueness. And then they'll say, because we're talking our philosophy, we're not an individual, as if they are. So that's what you said before, the modes of nature. That's the modes, because it makes ignorance makes what's wrong look right and what's right look wrong. So it's very... That's why then you want to cut through with transcendental knowledge, not necessarily material logic, because they might not catch it. Right? You can logically present, but it has to be the transcendental knowledge that will cut the knots. Logic won't cut the knots. Like it says that the knot of material existence is cut with the sword of spiritual knowledge, not of, you know, extremely expert logic. Right? And what was his name? With the gargantuan? No? Gargantuan knot? No? Is that, I don't know if that was, that may have been Alexander. That was Alexander. So he cut through the knot with his sword of, you know, mundane potency, and he became the emperor. But he didn't get out of the material world. No, don't know that story. Okay. Udvriti. A real preacher cannot be bogus. He must first of all realize Lord Vishnu as he is. The word tattvadarshi refers to one who has perfectly realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a person can become a guru and propound Vaishnava philosophy all over the world. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.15.4 purport. 2.8.128. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, whether one is a Brahmin, a sannyasi, or a Shudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. Right? On the transcendental platform. But even if he's a Shudra, he'll always socially act in that position, even though he may be the spiritual master, right? Srila Prabhupada, this verse is very important to the Krishna consciousness movement. In his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that one should not think that because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born a Brahman and was situated in the topmost spiritual order as the sannyasi, it was improper for him to receive instructions from Srila Ramananda Rai, who belonged to the Shudra caste. To clarify this matter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Ramananda Rai that knowledge of Krishna consciousness is more important than caste. In the system of Varnashram Dharma, there are various duties for the Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Actually, the Brahmana is supposed to be the spiritual master of all other Varnas or classes. But as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned, everyone is capable of becoming a spiritual master because knowledge in Krishna consciousness is on the platform of the spirit soul. Right? Means someone who has a Brahminical nature, you know, and actually works in that, he can teach all the other Varnas their duties. Right? And then, you know, the art of application and that, you learn from someone else in that field. Right? But the point is they can teach all that, but because they have that qualification. Right? It's their conditioning. They can do that. They have that knowledge. They have that ability. Right? But when it comes to Krishna consciousness, any living entity is qualified to be on the transcendental platform. It's their natural position. So anyone who is, their spiritual master. Does that make sense? But when you're dealing in general, you know, for those who are just engaging varnashram in Krishna's service or that, and they don't see necessarily, they don't understand pure devotional service and this and that, right? They're working at those levels below that point of pure devotional service. They don't know about that. So then for them, yes, they approach a guru who is a Brahmin, right? So if they want to know transcendental knowledge, they'll find someone who is transcendentally situated but is a Brahmin. Like that. Because they work within Varnashram in that way, they identify according to that, and therefore it'll be difficult for them to function outside of that. Or even if they can kind of, others will say something. Right? So these rules are there. But we see is when you're dealing with pure devotional service, then these don't apply. That's why it says, when you work within pure devotional service, then some things that were before not to be done, now are done. And things before that were done are now not done. Right? So here is that whoever's more advanced in spiritual knowledge, that's who you're hearing from. That's then the point. So it doesn't matter, because these others, then they are a position that is necessary. You know, like we have a hierarchy in the society. That's necessary to run the society. That it has some aspect that naturally there would be more advancement because there's more dedication to Krishna, so you can take up more responsibility. But at the same time, it also has the aspect that your conditioning allows you to do that. Right? You can't be consistently do the duties of, let's say, a temple president unless you have that nature, you can do that. Unless you're working just on very transcendental position, and so therefore you do and you just inspire everybody else and they run the place. You're still in charge, but they want to help you run it. You know, we've seen a few cases of that also. But the point is generally it's like that. So that person won't be looked at so much like the temple president as the senior most devotee. But you still need the hierarchy just for the structure. But still, what you hear from those who are more advanced. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes?
Side question. Is it possible that someone understands strategy but can't function on the level of operational and tactical?
They're going to be able to do their, you know, some little part themselves, like maybe explain that to someone else, you know, or inspire others to function in their position. But it doesn't mean that they necessarily have to be doing it. You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, just for an example, a GBC or a sannyasi doesn't have to be a manager. But he should be able to understand the vision, Prabhupada's vision, or the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and be able to inspire, you know, the presidents and other managers in that mission. So it's fine as long as you understand where you fit into it. You don't have to be able to do. But you know, you'll be able to do your function. You know, you can manage to get onto the plane and stuff like that. At least most people can. You know? Or you're such that, these two examples of, one devotee was at the airport, came to the airport late, and he came to the desk, you know, and you know, with the luggage, you know how it is, you know, all the stuff, and like this. Said to get on the plane, and he gave the thing. And then they looked at the name, and they looked in the thing, and they called the pilot. And the pilot came back. He was taxiing. He came back. Because this person was, at the time, the most traveled person in the world. So it's just like, who? No, this was before he was. I think this was another, but same kind of thing. Like So they came back, and so then, you know, they came back and said, you know, there's an important person coming. They came back, they docked, you know, and he came on the plane and all that, and there's this, you know, bedraggled Hare Krishna getting onto the plane with all this stuff and all that, and, you know, so everyone's like, well, we came back for him. What's his position, you know? So, you know. So, yeah, I guess he had frequent flyer points that would take him to the next century or something, you know, so... Yeah, definitely.
And bath.
That's why he's here, because he already came. Yeah. And then the other one is, he was sitting, working and all that, doing some work like that, and then you know, they're sitting in the place, and you can see the airport and like that, and doing the things, and then there's a plane going. He said, and he asked the servant, what plane was that? And he looks at it, that was our plane. They go, okay. So they go back down to the desk and said, you know, we're supposed to be on this plane and this and that. When's the next plane? When's your next flight? So the person at the counter takes it that they mean that destination, you know. And so says, oh, that's not going to be for, you know, another, you know, 24 hours or something like that. No. What's your next flight? Means any flight. What's the next plane going out of here, out of the airport here? And it was a plane going the opposite direction. But it was within their region that they would preach in. He says, I'll take that one. First it's like, you're going here? Yeah. So these are the transcendental positions of the preacher. So in other words, neither of them could manage their way out of a wet paper bag. But both of them were able to aspire so many managers. That makes sense? Yeah. So, like that. No, that's the point, is you have both. Since it's an institution, you have to have the managerial hierarchy to make it work. But everybody in it should be a devotee and But even if you don't, like we see in Vrindavan for the Gurukul there, Prabhupada established a headmaster that was a straight up front karmi. But a super qualified karmi that liked what we were doing. But he, you know, by him being there, everyone in the region would respect the school and give it all facility. But he made the devotee the head above him. Like that. So that's the thing in the Vedic, is the spiritual is always superior to the other one. So, yeah. But, you know, if we follow the Henry VIII model, then you combine the two. You know, because you find some are both, some aren't. You know? How you say? What was it called before? Like you say, the sun god, he was both. No? That the, what do you call it? The chalet?
The sun king?
Yeah, the sun king. He was both. You know, some were. And some were one and not the other. Like Satsarup. He was more the spiritual. It's not that he couldn't do his work, but he wasn't a big manager. But he inspired others who were managers. So like that, that's what's so perfect about the Vedic system, is everybody's respected for their position. So if they can manage, that's respected. Like Karandar was young, but he was a good manager. You know, so... Yeah. You know, so like that, so... That's the thing. So it's so perfect about the Vedic system. It's so individual that each person can function in their capacity and at the same time respect everybody else for their capacity, and all the capacities are engaged at their best. On the contemporary kind of thing, one person has to be good at everything, and so then it's always going to fail. You know. Is that okay? Cool. Actually, the Brahman is supposed to be the spiritual master of all other varnas or classes. But as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned, everyone is capable of becoming a spiritual master because knowledge in Krishna consciousness is on the platform of the spirit soul. So here also we get a point that spiritual master means delivering spiritual knowledge. Like here, Lord Chaitanya is hearing from Ramananda Rai as the spiritual master. Does that mean Ramananda Rai was the Diksha Guru? Yeah.
All the levels.
Yes, when you say spiritual master, it includes all.
And you did already tell me something about Krishna, and then people are not how he reveals everything.
Means he's the Uttamadhyaya.
I'm saying, you become a spiritual master, you can be anyone who knows something about Krishna, and knows everything about Krishna.
Yes.
And everything in between.
Yes, so that's the thing, but everybody in their place. So the point is, the person who's the smaller spiritual master respects those who's the bigger spiritual master. Right? Does that make sense? And everybody respects the mother-in-law.
Right? When she's present.
Yeah, when she's present. Right? To spread Krishna consciousness, one need only to be cognizant of the science of the spirit soul. It does not matter whether one is a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Keeping in suspense here. Sannyasi, Grihastha, or whatever. Yes, that's where we come in. Yeah, I was waiting for it. Where are we going to be mentioned, you know? Okay, we're the whatever. If one simply understands this science, he can become a spiritual master. Spiritual master means you're a master in spirit. You know transcendence. Right? It doesn't mean you're a Pancharatrik guru. Right? It means on the Bhagavat platform, then you have that. That's it. Yes?
I was contemplating on the Diksha and Shiksha, you know, principles, and the Shiksha is always exists.
Yes.
But Diksha without Shiksha is bad.
Yes.
It's just a ritual.
It's just a ritual. So that's the thing, is the emphasis is put on the ritual, then that becomes, you can understand it would be a neophyte position. It's not necessarily the person understanding that way is a neophyte, but their knowledge in this area is not so developed. Like that.
Also Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, he mentions Uchitai Chaitanya that Nityananda, he is the original guru.
Yes.
But then when he mentions the hierarchy, then Mahaprabhu, he represents Diksha Guru, and Nitai, he's Shiksha Guru. He's the original Shiksha Guru.
Oh, okay.
Because he brings everybody to
Lord Chaitanya. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.